For you to win in life, you need faith. And faith comes by hearing God's word. The message you're about to listen to from the senior pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okonkwo, will set you on a course for a life of total victory.
Okay, if there's any guy in the house, can you wave to me, all the guys? Okay. But they can say they are walking. They're helping us arrange chairs. When we start the question and answer, I will drive them. They will still buy the CD. If I drive them, they will still buy the CD. Praise God. But have you been blessed so far? Hallelujah. In fact, I was enjoying myself so much. And I said, why am I the one preaching today? You know, so I would just enjoy the whole service. Praise God. I mean, from the poem to the dance. Oh, that dance was a movie. Abby? To Pamela's song. Awesome. And she looks very gentle. You know that her voice is that strong. Awesome voice. Then, you know, to our girl, Chiga. Hallelujah. It's so awesome to meet you one-on-one also. It's you know, you won't think that you are like this. Amen. You know, you would have thought you were real, you know, but awesome gift. That's an awesome gift. Praise God. Awesome. Then, of course, Inka and her love life. Amen. Inka is always amazing. Always love to see her. I'm so glad. I'm happy to be amongst all of you tonight. Praise God. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to the beginning. Praise God. Let me say this also, not just to you that are here, to people watching online or people watching that will watch it at home later when we air it. If I use your story, don't be angry. I just think sometimes we might need some life stories to buttress a point. No names will be mentioned, so but in case you hear a story that looks like your own, it might be you. But don't, I won't mention your name so nobody will know. If you don't move too much, they won't know it's you. Oh, praise God. Okay. From verse 21, Genesis chapter 2 from verse 21. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He said, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now, I'm sure this was very romantic as at that time. All right? He says, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 25. And they were both most pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they now knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Verse 9, and the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And jump to verse 12. And the man said, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, and that thou shouldest not eat? Look at verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and what? And I did it. This is a full drama here. Adam was a lonely guy, rugged guy, made from dust. As a matter of fact, the two words translated in the Bible, make or made, referring to the man and the woman were different. The one for the man, it means they squeezed and molded into shape. The one for the woman showed that they were was skillfully made. So there were even two different words altogether. Praise God. In other words, the man was just made anyhow. The woman was skillfully made. And the Bible said when Adam saw the woman, that he was fascinated. And that's one thing I need to tell you. Women, men are totally fascinated about you. When we meet you, you guys totally fascinate us. But you have to keep it that way. That Adam's reaction you saw there is the average reaction a man has when he meets you. He doesn't know all your problems. He doesn't know all your bad behavior. When he meets you in your element looking good, he will say like Adam, this is the bone of my bone. This is the flesh of my flesh. In nowadays language, see babe. Adam was blown away, fascinated. And he toasted her. She agreed. They got married. The moment a man marries you, the game changes. You need to realize that. I'm going to deal with it majorly as I move on. I'm just recapping this story. The moment the man marries you, the game changes. Before he married you, he was toasting you. When he marries you, you are now functioning more as a helper. If things go wrong in his life, he will blame you. The way Adam did. The moment they ate the fruit, things went bad. They asked Adam, what's the problem? He said, this same woman that he shouted, bone of my bone now. The moment Yahweh gasped, he said, she's the cause of all my problems. Many women have been called witches in their houses. It's the same thing. It's the Adamic nature. Say, she's the cause of all my problems. What a woman actually desires is unconditional love. That was what she had when she first landed. Unfortunately, along the line, the man changed. And I know every woman here is believing God that the same way the man is tripping for you when he first meets you is the way he'll trip for you throughout the journey. Abi? Even if you don't agree, that's what you want. I'm sure Eve was heartbroken that this same Adam is now saying in front of God that the same Eve that was a blessing is now a curse. The same Eve that was brought as a solution is now the problem. Women, whether you like it or not, the main desire in your heart is that you will be loved. As a matter of fact, it's so obvious that in Ephesians chapter 5, when God was speaking to husbands, that's the only instruction he gave husbands. He said, husbands, love your wife. That's what she wants. Love your wife. That is what you really want. It's not even cars that you want. It's not hair that you want. The main thing you want is that unconditional, unchanging love. The problem is that this man here could not deliver it. Let me start by saying this. As a lady, if you desire to enjoy your life, and you deserve to have a good life, whether you like it or not, your happiness is somehow largely tied to relationships. Whether you like it or not, the average woman somehow is going to be affected positively or negatively by the relationships in her life. So to start this journey of happiness in relationships, you must remove the pressure from a man. Remove your faith from being in a man and put your faith in the only person in the whole world that can love you unconditionally and that can love you unchangingly. And that is God. That's where you need to start from. If you are starved of love, or let me say this way, if you have not been receiving your love from God, because you'll be starved of love, you will not negotiate well when you meet men. The best way to meet a man is when you're already full of love, not that you're looking for love. What's the best way to catch fish? The best way to catch fish, I need somebody to be smart there. Good. The best way to catch fish is to offer the fish what it's looking for. Don't go about looking for love. Praise the Lord. The problem with many ladies is that they don't have a love relationship with God. So they are starved of love. So they go about looking for a man. Look, even when you marry, Even when you marry, no human being, no man has the capacity to love you the way you need to be loved. Is somebody here? I need you to catch this. No, the best of us, we don't see, you to understand, we are not emotional at all. We don't, all these things you are talking about, we don't feel it. Most of the things we do by faith. That's why till tomorrow, a woman will always hassle a man that you don't tell me I love you. Because men don't have that need. I don't need somebody to tell me I love you. I don't even like. In fact, men are uncomfortable. You tell you, I love you. Tell you, so another guy. Next you say, hey, guy, I love you. You say, guy, cool down. Cool down, man. When did that happen? It even makes us uncomfortable. Are you getting this? So this, the natural man, the man cannot even feel. You are loaded with emotions. He doesn't have any. So he can't even feel what you're talking about. So there's no way a man is going to satisfy your need for love. The earlier you realize that, the better. That will help your negotiations. Because many people are putting pressure on a man to be what he can never be. And you know what the smart man will do? He will take advantage of that and pretend to be that thing till he gets all that he wants. And once he gets all that he wants, the game changes. Men are not emotional. You must understand that. The real thing you need to do is to receive that love from God. He's the only one that can love you the way you want to be loved, unconditionally and unchangingly. When you are satisfied with that love and you meet a man, your negotiation is better because you are not trying to depend on that man to love you that way. I said, what's the best way to catch a fish? Is by offering baits. That's how you catch fish. You promise or you pretend that you can offer this worm or whatever and the fish will eat it. That's what most men and women do. The man will offer or pretend or try to act as if he can love the way you want him to. And if he's a bad guy, by the time he offers that, you will jump at it, hook, line, and sinker, as they say. You will jump at it. Then he will sleep with you. If you have money, he will take the money. He will use you as much as he can and still walk away. You need to understand, we are not filled with emotions. A man can stand up, walk away, and forget his wife, forget his children, forget his brothers, forget his sisters. We are not emotional. We don't get our kick. We don't get our momentum from emotions. Praise God. I have a brother. I've seen him now, but all the while I couldn't travel abroad. I had a brother I had not seen for more than 10 years. And we don't call, except when there's something very important to say. That's how men operate. Two of us can be on this face of the earth. And I don't mean brother of somebody from my village. I don't mean brother, my cousin. I mean brother as in the same mother, the same father, grew up in the same house, brother. All right? Both of us can be on this face of this earth for 20 solid years and we will not talk. And we're happy. Not that we're angry. Not that we keep malice. We are very okay. And the day we meet, we can meet on the subway and say, guy, now you be this. And we'll just greet and say, okay, just do some handshake. Say, later, man. We don't feel all those things that you guys feel. We don't have a need for it. We don't have a need for love. We don't have a need for those things. I travel to Abuja to preach a lot. One of my eldest brothers lives in Abuja. All the time I've gone to Abuja. Not that I didn't see him. I didn't even call him that I'm coming to Abuja. You understand? Seeing him is a far one. As in, he wasn't aware I came and left. Not once, not twice, not thrice. And I'm not worried. Neither is he. We are not quarreling. Men are project and work driven. Emotions doesn't come in for us. So if you come to a man and you are starved of love, you are going to negotiate badly. Because before long, he can tell that you are needy. You need to be satisfied with the love of God first. If not, you will put pressure on a man to do something he can never do. Praise God. Let's move on. I said a woman's joy is largely tied to her relationship. The first thing Eve saw when he landed on the earth was a man. The first thing man saw when he landed on the earth was a job. You see the difference? Once the man landed, the first thing God gave him was work. God said, take care of the garden, keep it, take care of it. The first thing man saw was work. After that, God gave him another project, say, name all the animals. So man is used to working. In fact, he didn't even know he needed a wife. It was God that said, this man needs help. I will give him a helper. It wasn't Adam. Adam didn't do anything concerning his marriage. The only thing Adam did was to sleep. And even the sleep wasn't voluntary. God put him to sleep. Is somebody following this? Adam was running around with lions and zebras and crocodiles. And God said, this man, the way he's running like this, he will finish his life. He will disturb himself. He says, it's not good for this man to be alone. It was out of pity. God looked at him. He wasn't dressing well. His beard was grown. Because without you guys, he will look very horrible. You guys are the one that even make us even try to dress well. The average boy, that's why if you see a boy that is a young boy, he can walk barefooted from his house to 100, am I correct? Without shoe. And in the world of men, that is not a problem at all. I know what I'm saying, because I used to do it. I'm in front of my gate, then I'm going to two or three closes down the line. I'll come first, go inside. Go wear slippers. No. With that, my short knicker and bare feet, I'm going to walk to the place I'm going. And I'll meet my friend at the gate, he'll walk me back too without shoe. So you guys are the one that even make us even try to look reasonable. Because God saw Adam, he was messing himself up, just walking up and down. He almost turned to an animal. God says, it's not good to leave this man like this. He said, I will bring him a helper. The main reason God brought you is to help. This negotiation is important. God didn't bring you to beg for love. What you brought on the table is that you are here to help. And the moment Eve did not help Adam, she was still beautiful, but she made him lose his position. The beauty did not count again. He abused her. I need to, because many were wondering, why doesn't he love me anymore? The game has changed. You are still playing the old league. Beauty is important, and I will say that as I go on. But the moment you enter a man's life, as time goes on, beauty is no more the goal. Beauty is no more the mark. The game has changed. Adam was tripping for this girl. But the moment they had a problem with Adam's position or his job, he said, this is the cause of all my problem. A man is not emotional. Okay. Let me move on. And the problem is that women, even apart from it being inside you, even the environment helps you develop. From as you see two children, the woman is developing emotionally at a faster rate than the guy. From when they are young, the girl, they are buying her doll. Doll is a human being. So she begins to take care of the doll. She places the doll's hair. She changes the clothes for the doll. She washes it. So she's relating with a human being. Meanwhile, the boy has ball. Ball, there's no need for any emotion. You kick it. Or he has gun. Then as they begin to grow, they begin to act drama behind the house. The woman will act, she's cooking. The boy will go to work, go out. Then when he comes back, the house they had built with sand, he will kick it down. That's play for him. Breaking his family is play. Then as they enter preteens, the girl is listening to music and watching, reading novels. She's reading romance novels. The boy is reading comic and a superhero comic. Spider-Man. Superman. In the romance novel, the girl is developing emotionally because she's seeing people say they love each other. She's hearing about the word crush. Do you know how old I was when I first said the word crush? What do you mean crush? The only crush I knew was a soft drink. That's the crush man. But you see, the average woman has developed emotionally all that while. She has read novels. So she understands what love is, what romance is. Man has no clue. Then they enter teenage. The lady is watching movies. She's watching what? Romance movies. The man is watching what? War film. He's watching Bruce Lee. They are he's still fighting. All his life, they are teaching him fight. So the woman at when they are early 20s or whatever, the woman is highly developed and searching for love. The boy is highly undeveloped and looking for fight. And those two people come together. That's why it's not just any man you need in your life. I'll explain these things as I move on. Before the kind of man you can need in your life, there are some conditions that man must satisfy. And one of them is that he must be a man under God. Because God is the one that can teach him. You see, let me explain. God already loves you in that way you want, unconditionally and unchangingly. The only way you can have peace and love and joy in your life and in your marriage is if you marry another man that is under that same God that has loved you the way you want. But the mistake many women make is that they are experiencing this unconditional love from God, then they go and marry a man that doesn't know this God. You go and marry a man that all he knows is war films and football. You need to marry a man that is under God. And secondly, a man that also has a strong male figure in his life. He needs a mentor, a sound one. I love animals a lot. So I watched a documentary. They brought, they have wild packs in most parts of the world. So they wanted to start a new wild pack. So they brought rhinos. How many of you know rhinos? You know rhinos? They brought rhinos and they brought elephants, young ones. They were both of them were young, a couple of them young, so that they can grow together. Normally, in other packs, elephants and rhino, they don't fight. They are both big and strong, so they don't fight themselves. Praise God. But now, when they brought these young ones, because the elephants were not mentored, because the elephants were not groomed, you know what happened? Those elephants began to kill the rhinos. I mean, they would just see the rhinos, they would attack them and kill them. And this is unusual. And they say, what are we going to do? One of the experts says, simple. These elephants are not mentored. If they are not mentored, they are full of power. You see the energy, you saw this dance. Men are full of energy. So a man needs to express that energy. If he is not mentored, he will use the energy to destroy his own family. That's what he's going to do with it. And they said, all they need to do is to bring a mature elephant. That's all they did. They brought a very mature and elderly elephant. And once he landed, all the other junior elephants, they surrendered leadership to him. And he now taught them that we don't kill rhinos. They are not our enemies. And the war stopped. Do not marry a man or don't enter a serious relationship with a man that doesn't have another strong male figure that has been groomed, that understands what a man and woman relationship is about. Or else, that boy will just use you as a toy. Because boys like toys. Let's move on. I will explain some other things as we go on. Common mistakes that ladies make. Number one, ladies think they can change men. This one is a national problem. The earlier you stop it, the better. You can't change a man. You cannot change a man. Men are naturally stubborn and strong-willed. They have ego. And let me say this by the side. Because some women say, oh, men have ego, men have ego. Your job is not to remove their ego. You don't want to marry a man that doesn't have an ego. I don't mean the negative ego now, but there's what is called self-pride. Because if you marry a man that doesn't have ego, you know what you marry? You marry a dunce. When they kick your children out of school, he'll be very content. Nothing will pain him. If the rent is due and the landlord is abusing you guys, he won't feel bad. You don't want a man that doesn't have any self-pride. So, you see, the way God has packaged the man, he packaged the man to be able to fulfill his purpose. It's important for you to understand how that man is packaged so that you won't be an obstacle. You will be a helper, which you are really meant to be. Many women are the ones trying to stop their husband from being what he's supposed to be. Don't fight his ego. If he's under God, God will tame him down. If he's under a good mentorship or a good pastor, he will learn. Because, there are some things a young man cannot know. He has been playing ball and watching war movies. There is no way. How do you expect him to know how to love a woman? There's no way he's going to know. I've shared this story many times. When I first met my wife, I liked our nice girl. So we started a relationship. Beautiful. So if I see her on a Monday, we've planned we'll see on Friday. I don't talk to her again since that time. I go to my work. So it happened for a few weeks. Then one day she called me, said, no. You've not called me throughout this week. You've not said. I said, I don't have anything to say to you. We've agreed we'll see on Friday. We'll see on Friday. She said, no, you have to be calling me. I said, okay, no problem. See, she was teaching me because there's no way I'm going to know that. In the world of men, if I've seen Dr. Tevi last week and we have planned we're going to see in church next Sunday, I don't have any reason to call him except I have important information to tell him. And he's not missing me. You understand? I don't have any reason to call him. Men don't just talk. Men don't talk for affection. We talk for information. And nobody's upset. In fact, it's a disturbance if I call him and say, guy, how far? Just to check on you. It's a disturbance. So, because my wife was demanding that, I said, okay, my fiancé, then we're not married. I said, okay, I don't know if I'll call her. So, I called her in between the days. I said, how are you? Fine. I didn't know what to say. I had nothing to say. I said, ma, I heal you. Just want to heal you. She now said, no. That's not the kind of thing you say. When you call me like that, you need to ask me how my day was. You need to say sweet things to me. You need to say you love me. She had to teach me the average man cannot know. Because a lot of women don't understand. Because of that, they are rejecting the real person they should have married. Because they think he's not romantic. He can't be romantic. Naturally speaking. Somebody has to teach him. He's coming raw from the bush. There's no way he can know that. Praise God. Because most times what causes problem is unmet expectations. And all these expectations you are expecting a guy to do, there's no way he can know. She had to teach me that. Say, call me. That she had to teach me that if me and you see and I leave your house, you need to call me to know whether I've gotten home. How am I going to know that? If me and my guy see today and he say he's going, except he calls me that he didn't reach there, I assume he has reached where he's going. Why am I going to call him and say you don't reach? Before, nobody house, tell me say they go. You branch. You told me you're going home, I believe you. But you see, in the world of women, you expect that when the guy drops you off or whatever, he should call to know whether you have gotten home. In the world of men, it's not like that. I get matched to watch. You told me you are going home. Go home. So all these expectations you have, a natural man cannot know it except he's mentored and groomed by God and usually by a strong male figure. A man will hardly submit to a woman. He's not meant to. He's not created to. Now, of course, I understand if you work in an office or whatever, it's okay. But I'm saying, naturally speaking, a man will not just naturally submit to a woman. It does just happen. But he will submit to another man, especially if that man is a strong male figure. Not a weak man, under strong man. He will gladly submit to that other man. He will gladly see his future in that man. So you can't change a man. In other words, if you meet a man now and he wants to marry you, if he's a liar now, chances are he will be a liar 10 years from now. Because many women enter relationships or marriage with the intention that I will change him. Forget about it. You can't change a man. Most of the divorces or bad marriages, they never take a woman by surprise. All the things the man does to her in the marriage, the man was showing those signs when they were single. But in her mind, she felt, I will change him. If anything, it will get worse. Because by the time he has stopped being fascinated by you, his attitude will get worse. So anybody you will not want to marry in 10 years from now, don't marry him today. If he's a liar, because some ladies asked me, one lady asked me, that I discovered that my husband or my fiancé is an armed robber. Should I still marry the person? Real life stories. To a man, that's not a question. But in the world of women is a real question. Because a woman will actually see that armed robber and be considering marrying him. In her mind, she will change him. He's beating you now. He's giving you know what they call body? I go. How many of you know body? You know body, have you? He will beat you. He will beat you when you marry. You can't change him. My mother You need to understand, men are stubborn, especially when it's a woman trying to change him. Look, he has fought his mother all through his life. Mother was trying to change him. He didn't agree. You now came and took his mother's job. Even when you are right, he will just try to be wrong. Because it's not normal for him to adjust to you. That's why in the union, the person God gave the ability to adapt is the woman. Genesis chapter 2. God said, I will make him a help meet for him. That word help and meet, they are two different. They are not together. They are separated. They are help. Okay, is it on the scripture? Beautiful. He said, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him what? And help what? Meet. So they are not the same words. They are two different words. What that word means, that I will make him a helper that is suitable. That word meet means that he's suitable and adaptable. So the person that has the ability to change in a union is the woman. Not even the man. He's going to be stubborn. His mother tried to change him. He didn't agree. His mother tried to stop him from throwing his clothes all over the room. He didn't change. And you saw him like that and you want to marry him. And in your mind, you're going to make him start arranging his clothes. It won't happen. When he's eating, he eats loud. The mother taught him for many years. He didn't change. Then in your mind, you're saying, when I marry him, I will change him. He won't change. Praise God. My dad used to chew chewing stick. He will chew chewing stick and spit it all over the house. Inside and outside. And my mom, since I was born to now, my mom complained about it and my dad never changed. The next day, he will still chew the chewing stick and spit it. You can't change a man. That means what you see is what you get. Don't enter this transaction thinking that after some years you will change him. Now, if you're already inside the business as you have married him, the only chance of change is when he submits, like I said, to God and probably another male spiritual figure that can mentor him. Outside of that, he cannot change. Praise God. So make sure what you see now is what you get. Make sure this is what you want. Somebody still asked me my fiance, they gave him money to do something in his office or whatever, and he used the money for something else, and now they are disturbing the office. He said, I should borrow him money. I said, what should I do? I said, number one, you can't marry him because it shows that he has financial issues, because he won't change. So number two, give him that money only if you don't need that money, because he might never return it. But you see the problem. Most girls are love-starved. So what they are trying to do, they are trying to buy love with all the things. They are trying to sleep with the guy, trying to be nice to the guy. He will not change. No matter what you give him or do for him, that won't change him. You need to understand, you can sleep with a man a million times. It won't change him. Sex does not change men. I was counseling somebody still yesterday. Hear the story, very interesting story. The guy said, Pastor, there's a story I want to share with you. But he said he's very angry because he's tired of sharing the story. I said, why? He said, even his own pastor, when he told his pastor was sentimental about it. That he's telling me. And me, I'm as man as they come. I'm not sentimental. I'll tell you the way it is. So I said, tell me the story. I'll tell you how it is. I'm not sentimental. And he did. He told me the story. He said, there was this girl, a virgin, when he met the girl, nice girl. He started sleeping with the girl. The girl got pregnant for the first child. They didn't tell him all the while she was pregnant. When she was delivered, they told him. He came and saw that this boy resembled me. He said, he's my child. It's no problem. After some time, the girl said, let me bring your son to come and spend Christmas with you. And the girl came with the child. So they slept together again. She had another child. Two children. And she was a virgin when she met him, to show that she was a good girl. She's not a loose girl. The girl's parents are telling the boy, you must marry her. His pastor is telling him, you must marry her. And he's saying, I will never. That's how men are. You can kill yourself for him. He will still not marry you. Because woman, left a woman, somebody that have two children for you, in the world of men, that doesn't count for anything. Doesn't count for anything. So no matter what you are doing for the man, if he doesn't like you now, he won't like you then. He's not going to change anything. So stop negotiating poorly. Stop trying to offer things that are not needed. Because no matter what, you can give him all your money, he won't steal. See, love for us is not something, we're not like you that we can get caught up in emotion. No. You can do everything you want to do for me, I will still not have a feeling, one feeling for you. And the way men are, if they don't have feeling for you, they have a poor way of hiding it. So before you know it, they will start treating you in a way that you will start knowing that this guy no send me. Well, you see, because women are usually compassionate. So even if a woman doesn't like somebody, she can go out of her way and still cook for the person, go out of her way and still be nice. We don't have that kind of patience. If we don't like you, before long, you go know. We will not pick your call. Everyone will pick your call. The way we answer. Waiting. What is it now? You will know we don't like you. And there's nothing you can do about it. And you know the funny thing? If you come to sleep with the guy, he will sleep with you. Somebody say, why? Because sex for a man is like a physiological, it's not linked to his heart in any way. Sex for a man is like the way somebody goes to the toilet to urinate. It is pressing until you do it. Can you get this? Sex for a man is like urinating. It is pressing until you do it. The moment, how many men do you see that urinate and now start hugging the toilet? That time that he's pressed to urinate, he can do anything, he can pay anyone. The moment he eases himself, he doesn't even want to wait to flush. So if you think you're going to sleep with him a million times and that will change him, you are wasting your body. If sex was love, and sometimes the boy will scope you and tell you that if you love me, sleep with me. Very simple. If love was sex, all the prostitutes would be in love. So next time a boy tells you that if you love me, you sleep with me, let him know that prostitutes sleep with people and they are not in love with them. It's not, they are not linked in our world. In the world where we come from, sex is sex. That's why a man can sleep with his house help. He doesn't love the house help. There's no link. He's just pressed. And part of the reason why a man's sexual drive is that high is because that is the only thing that will make him think about a woman. If they remove sexual drive from a man, he will be playing football with you and not even see anything going on. So God put the sexual drive there to even make him, to drive him towards you in the first place. But he expects you to know how to negotiate. But the problem is that the man is sexually driven to the woman is not mentally or is not men savvy. So the man comes sexually driven, you just agree and jump on the bed with him. Mm-mm. Before, in fact, that's why the Bible doesn't even encourage you. That's why it's a sin to have sex with somebody you're not married to. Why? The whole idea, the way God packaged it, is that time when he's still driven, that's when you negotiate. That me, I don't sleep around though. If you want to marry, okay. If you don't want to marry, waka. At that time, he's still thinking well. The moment you bulge and let him sleep with you before marriage, negotiation has changed. And the more he sleeps with you, the more the negotiation gets worse. Why on earth will you want to? Because wedding, I know you people enjoy wedding. Men don't enjoy wedding. It's a difficult, it's work. So if I can have the sex without going through the stress, why am I going to marry? So if the man comes to you, you need to set the standards. Men like standards. Listen, men take advantage of loose girls, but they respect standards. So if you come as the loose girl, he will take advantage of you. He will still respect the one that has standard. That's why if you notice, there are some useless men that will sleep with other people and say they want to marry a virgin. Have you met those kind of men before? That's how men think. They say that you offer yourself. But he's still in his mind, he still likes standards. So when the man comes to you, maintain your standard. That is where your safety is. One of the standards you should maintain is that no sex before marriage is a scriptural standard. It doesn't matter what country you live in. Because I was counseling someone recently. He said, oh, he's in America, it's not like that. Because he lives in. I said, no, the Bible is the Bible, whether in America or in London. It's the Bible. Fornication is still a sin. Praise God. So, maintain. I know you will say, oh, pastor, but there are no men. There are no men today that won't sleep with you. It's a lie. It's that mindset you need to correct. There are many bad men, but there are a few good men. That's the title of a movie.
A few good men.
Your job is not to marry all men. It's only one you want. And if you need to wait on God for it, wait on God for it. Because it's not better to be single and happy than to be married and mad. A lot of married women, if you see what they go through, you're just wondering, why are you suffering yourself like this? Would it have been better for you to have been single? Because many women, because they're emotionally starved. Look, that vision and goal you are setting, the man is not in it with you. You are just telling your mind, you think if we just marry, there will be so much love. He's not thinking about that. He's not in the same page at all. So that's why you must negotiate well. Don't just think, let's just marry. It will work. We all love ourselves. No. He's not thinking like that. He's thinking how you can be of benefit to his life. Because he needs a helper. The game changes when you marry. Praise God. When you marry, the man moves from being fascinated to now functionality. He needs you to deliver. That's why, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband's head. He needs you to deliver. He needs your help. So when you come into the marriage, help his life. Let me address some things, like three things that you need to do once you get married. Because like I said, the game changes. The first thing you need to realize is that you are no longer the project. Men are project driven. The way our life works is that a man sets goals. When he starts, his first goal can be, I want to buy a car. That's a goal. The moment he buys the car, he has jumped to another project. He will now say, I want to get a job, or I want to get promoted, or I want to do my master's. That is a project. The moment he achieves that one or starts the project course, he will move to another project. The way God made us, we can't do more than one thing at the same time. We are project driven. So, one day he will meet a fine girl, and his project will be that, I'm getting old, I need to settle down, I want to marry. Then you are the project. When you are the project, he has credit to call. He has time to call. Do you notice? All of a sudden, the moment you agree, especially if you agree too quickly, or you marry, suddenly he can't call. He's busy. Same guy. Or he doesn't have credits. Or he's in a meeting. Praise God. And by the way, let me digress. Please, don't do things. Like I said, we are totally fascinated by you. Especially when we first see you or first meet you. Keep it that way. Don't fast track things from I meet you to I love you. Because you are love starved. You want to fast track it. You want him to cuddle you quickly. You want him to tell you I love you. You want the emotional relationship. Don't fast track it. Because men get bored easily. We get bored easily. Praise God. We get bored easily. So, the average man wants to do the chasing. The moment you make that chasing not to be interesting, you have just killed all his passion. He will get tired. He can leave you and go and chase on that person that is more interesting to chase. I'm not saying you should do hard to get, but don't just jump. That's why I do encourage ladies to submit their names for people to be hooking them up. I know in your own world, you think, oh, love. In a man's world, that has made negotiation go differently. For you to submit your name that you're looking for a man, it shows that you are a bit desperate. The way he will talk to you can't be the same as if he just met you on the street. Because when he meets you on the street, he doesn't know where you are. If you submit your name, he knows where you are. I don't know. Somebody understand what I'm saying? If a man meets you in the office or meets you in church, he doesn't know whether you have a man or a husband or a fiancé or not. He doesn't know whether you're thinking of marriage or not. So he's treating you nice, respectfully. But if you submit your name among those that are looking for husband, you are a suspect. You've already shown him that you are desperate to marry. He'll be talking to you anyhow. And most times, when they submit your name, you're not the only name they submitted. You're an option. So he's trying different options. So make her talk to it again. I make her so that she gets herself. You don't need that. And when you submit your name on that problem with that, or when you just meet on Facebook. See, men like the hunt. See, look, it's just like a lion. Can you imagine if a lion just sit down, an antelope just run and jump on him? You say, ah, wait. See this one, now wait, then put which inside. Or you're a hunter. You wake up and somebody knock on your door, you open the door, antelope just ran inside your house. Jump on the soup, on top of pot, on cooker, put curry and Maggi. Will you eat that kind of antelope? But women do that all the time. Let him do the hunt. Because the hunt is one of the ways you will know that he's really interested. Men can be funny. He can be talking to you all the while in his mind. He's saying, this stupid girl. He's just bearing, just tolerating you. You are excited. You think we are in love. We are not. So don't submit your name. Don't just jump. You have fast track, even the part of friendship. For men, some of the most interesting part of a relationship is the chase. For most men, that part where I don't know, I'm about to call you, and I don't know how you will react. Those are the most interesting parts. The moment the project is finished, you are now a disturbance. Because you want to talk all the time. And we want to do that. We want to watch football. Women talk for affection. So you want to talk. We don't want to talk. So allow the chase. Don't jump on him. Don't just make yourself unnecessarily available. Look, and men, see, we are not used to attention. You know the average woman from when you are young, even from when you're a man, you're not even thinking you are fine. Boys will be stopping you on the road. Do you notice? Yeah, maybe they send you around. Somebody say, ah, see, fine girl. Hey, fine girl. Does it happen to you? Do you understand what I'm talking about? From when you're young, they'll send you to the next street to buy something. One man or something somewhere will be toasting you or whistling at you. You notice, Abby? Even the ones that don't whistle at you, you notice that they are what? Staring at you. So from when a lady is young, she gets attention. Men, nobody they look us. We are not used to getting attention. So the moment we meet a girl that is paying unnecessary attention, we can tell. Nobody they look me. Then you just come all of a sudden, you know, say my suit fine, you know, say my shirt. I just know that. What did they do this one? We're not used to it. We're not used to somebody telling me you're looking good. Men know they talk like that. If you're looking good now for yourself, guy, how you doing? We don't need all those things. So by the time you start paying a man unnecessary attention, you start sending him texts in the morning and the night, Jesus loves you and so do I. He can tell that you're already chasing him and that has spoiled the game. Now he might take advantage of you. He will not love you. They're not the same thing. He will take advantage of you. Because if antelope jump on lion just for the reflex, he will first eat the antelope. But in his mind, he'll be like, say, I never chop today. I need to still pursue. If you see lions chasing antelope, that whole arrangement, you need to see them planning how to chase an antelope. So some of the lioness will go this way, some will go this way, then the main lion will just roar. As he's roar, everybody begins to run. You see them chasing. Have you watched the documentary before? All that is part of the fun. And they even train their cubs. They use those activities to train their cubs. Then you, antelope, will just come on your own, just come lie down. They will eat you, but you are not the eating. They will still take everybody out to go and do the exercise. So, when you get married, three things. You are no longer the project. That means the game has changed. So, your job at that time should not be telling him, you didn't call me, you didn't greet me, you didn't tell me I love you. That's not your job. At that time, what you should do is find out the next project in his life. Don't be a competition to the next project. Be a completion or a complementary person. Compliment. Assist. The only way to remain relevant to a man at all times is to know what his next after he has caught you. You need to find out what else is he trying to chase and help him. You are a helper, remember. But you know what most women do? The man has gotten a new project. He's trying to set up a new office. Most women will not be saying, every day you're on site. You say, I call you. You say you're in your new office. You're on site. He didn't call me. Then after a while, you become a disturbance. When he sees your number, he won't pick. What you should have done is that when you call him, ask him, how is the site going? I'm coming there to check. Make sure they put the right curtains. Make sure they're painting the right colors. He will tell you, come. In fact, it's even good because I was confused whether it's red or blue I should paint. Yeah, enter taxi and come. You see the difference? But now another girl will call. You didn't call me. I've been there with you. You're every day you're on the site. You just cut it. I'm not hearing you well. Just cut it. This one didn't stop me. Assist in the project. Don't compete with the project. We are project driven. The moment we achieve one thing, we'll move to another. The only way you can be relevant is to keep moving with us and helping. Your job is to help. Don't forget. Keep helping as we move to the projects, next projects. I was preaching in a certain state in Lagos, outside Lagos. They gave me a protocol officer to carry me around. He was engaged to a lady. He wasn't married. He was a young pastor. He was engaged to a lady. All through the while, the protocol guy was carrying me about in the car to the venue and all that. I noticed that somebody kept calling him. Later, I found out it was his fiancée. And all she would do is to nag. That you don't call me. Every day you are doing convention. You won't call me. She was nagging him every day. And the guy, I could see that the guy was already stressed because of the level of work they were doing. Instead of her to call and find out how the work is going, she's calling and saying, "You are not calling me." And some months after, I heard that they had broken up and he is now married to somebody else. Men run away from stress. We run from pain. We run to pleasure. If you are not pleasure, that's why men like toys. Men can do anything to go and watch a match. Men go after pleasure. If you are pain, he will do everything to avoid you. In the book of Proverbs, they say a man would rather go and stay in the wilderness than to stay in the same house with a nagging wife. Don't you notice that if the wife didn't leave, it's the man that left. Do you notice? Because women can stay. A woman even likes, whether we are happy or not, let's just be together. If we are fighting, self, it's even activity, it's good. Doesn't your prayer like that for men? No? Men like their peace of mind. They like pleasure. So of course, he broke that relationship. You are no more the project. Help him with the project. If he's building a new office, help him to choose colors. He will like you to be around. He will like you to come and talk. He will like you to come and help. Instead of fighting, help with the new project. Men are project driven. You will not always be the project. You are called to be a helper. You are like an assistant. Your relevance is dependent on how much you help. Second thing you must do, be his friend. Be his friend. You need to move from being his babe to being his friend. That's why you notice that many married men, they have a wife. They have a wife, they just dump the wife at home with the children. And they always go and hang out with friends. Be his friend. If you are his friend, he will not need to go anywhere else to hang out. You will be his hangout. He will like to be with you. How do you become somebody's friends? Begin to take interest in what they are interested in. If your husband is a committed football fan, you must begin to like football. Friendship is not a joke. It's a commitment. Praise God. If he likes certain kind of movies, begin to watch them. That way, two of you can discuss it. That way, you guys can gist. Instead of just talking about plates and pampers. Those things don't interest us. Number three, develop mentally. Men like mental stimulation. Like I said, at the beginning, he was fascinated. He liked your beauty. As the game changes, he has seen you naked. He has seen you when you have not had your bath. He has seen you when your mouth is smelling. Beauty is not what will keep him again. Develop mentally. Men like mental stimulation. In the book of Proverbs, they said a beautiful woman, without discretion, is like a gold snout a gold ring in a pig's snout. They say a beautiful woman without discretion. So you can be beautiful all you want. You can be Miss World. The moment he has married you and he has stayed with you for a while, that beauty. Don't you ever wonder how people can marry someone like all those very beautiful female actors abroad? People marry them. I don't want to mention names, but you know who I'm talking about. Some people marry them and still divorce them. And those women are very fine. And you wonder, why will a guy marry this guy in 1 year, sometimes 6 months? Because the beauty, we don't operate. Beauty can't keep us. Beauty can attract us. Beauty can't keep us. We can't be watching you like an idol. The only thing that will keep us is that if you are mentally stimulating. So if you are here and you don't read, you don't develop yourself, you don't even know about politics, you don't even know about football, you don't know about things that interest men, the man won't have anything to discuss with you. That same your husband that you always complain that he doesn't talk, see him when he's arguing politics, see him when he's arguing football. He'll be shouting and tearing his shirt. He talks only that you don't talk about interesting things. Adultery. Let me talk about adultery briefly. If you marry an unbeliever, or you're married to an unbeliever, there's no guarantees. If he's an unsaved person, he's still ruled by his flesh. He's submitted under his flesh. He lives in the flesh. You don't have much of an option. You have to first pray for him to get born again. If you are not born again, you first have to get born again, then pray for him to get born again. When somebody is born again, their nature is changed. It's like a lion. The only way a lion can stay with sheep and not eat it is when his nature is what changed. If he's still the normal lion and you keep him with sheep, one day, he will taste the sheep. As Chigor said, taste the paste. He will taste the sheep. So he needs to be born again. Now, when he is born again, you still need to be praying for him. Because for women, adultery is a planned and ambiguous project. The boy will first be paying you attention. He will be confiding in you. You will be confiding in him. You will now be putting, I love you, or I'll kiss smiley. It will take a lot. For men, it doesn't work like that. A man can leave his house today loving you and come back, he has cheated against you or cheated on you. Not because he doesn't love you anymore. It was totally unplanned. So what you need to do, because many women think, if my husband cheated on me, it means I'm bad. It doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. It's totally unplanned. So your job is to hold forth spiritually for him, no matter who you are married to, especially if he's a born-again Christian. Hold forth for him spiritually. It doesn't mean you are not a good wife. It doesn't mean you are not satisfying him sexually. It can be totally unplanned for a man. It's not a big project. So pray for him. And in a case where something like that has already happened, support him. The last thing you want to do is to nag about it and start fighting him. If you do that, he will begin to like. Men run from pain. Men run from pain. Most men are still boys. They run from pain. If you are a pain in his neck, he will run from you. What are the basic qualities you need to look out for in a spouse? I have to round up. There are many things to say, but obviously there's no time. So I'll round up. I'll start rounding up. What are the major things you need to look out for? The average young girl doesn't know what to look out for. Sometimes I see young girls, you are being approached by a very great guy and you are turning him down because of things that are not important. One of the first things you must do, please don't put your eyes on a man and be hoping that man will toast you. That will block you from seeing other prospective guys. Many girls do that a lot. Maybe you come to a church or you go to work in an office, there's one young, handsome guy that is not married, and in your mind, because he greets you and smiles at you, he likes you. He's just afraid to say it. You now tie your mind there. Other guys are coming close to you, but they can sense that you are in love with somebody else. They don't even know what it is, but they can sense you are not receptive at all. And you keep wondering, why are they leaving? Because somehow your heart is tied to somebody that has not even said anything. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't tie your heart to say it must be Soji that will marry me. No, especially if Soji has not said anything. Keep your options open. And when the guy comes, please look out. When another guy comes, look out for the right qualities. I've seen ladies that say, I don't want to marry a guy because he's not romantic. I've told you that the average guy on the street will not be romantic. There are a few that are romantic. I don't know where they got it from. I don't know how they got it. But the average guy, the real rugged guy, is not going to be romantic when he comes. You're going to have to teach him, or he'll watch it from movies or something. So don't refuse a guy just because of those small things. Some of you ladies don't know the work, the amount of courage it takes a guy to approach you. Like I told you, when we first see you, we are fascinated. And after a while, we are scared. We fear you. That's the honest truth. You are a different species of human being. We don't know what you are going to say. We see how beautiful you are. We don't even know the words to say. When I was very young, I could not toast at all. I had to actually cram gist. And I'll write it down. Say, discuss this one. After this one finished, discuss. Seriously. So I'm showing you all the work. So by the time the guy finally have courage to come and say, how are you? Hello. And I say, hey, hello, can I help you? He has crammed. He thought when he says hello, you will say hi. He now came and said, hello. You now say, can I help you? Ah! He has scattered everything. You know, say, I'm looking for 23 road. Please, I'm looking for this so-and-so street. Praise God. He doesn't know that. So please, be gentle when you are dealing with a guy. Be very gentle. He might not be smooth. He might not know all the things to say. That's not a reason not to marry him. If he has the important qualities, marry him. You can teach him the rest. If he has the important qualities, though. Which is, number one, is he a child of God? A born again? Not that he goes to church, they are different. If you sleep in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. I mean, he's born again. Number two, he has good character. That means he's not lying, he's not a thief, he's not beating you, he's not abusing you. Good character. Number three, he's hardworking. Don't marry a loafer. He has a job, or he is moving his life forward in his career, on his job. Number four, he loves you and respects you. Because I see women chasing the wrong things. You see a guy that has all these things, and he also listens to you. Not that you are the leader, but when you advise him, when you bring opinions, he actually thinks you are smart. Those are good qualities. He might not be romantic. He might not have dress sense. He might not be well shaven. He might not know any, he might not be all those things. If he has these basic ones, the rest, you can be adding it. Because remember, you are adaptable. Praise God. How do I attract a guy? And I have to really round up from here. Be kind as a person. Don't be kind because you want to catch somebody. Let kindness be your way of life. Many women are only kind to prospective husbands. Be kind. The people in the Bible that had a miracle most times, people like Rebecca, she was kind to a servant. An elderly man that she could never have married, but that man was looking for a wife for his boss's son. People like Ruth. Ruth was kind to her mother-in-law. She wasn't expecting her mother-in-law to marry her, but in that she now met Boaz. Be kind. The Bible says we should be careful in entertaining angels, that by doing so, entertaining strangers, that we might actually entertain an angel. What are they saying? They're saying, learn to be kind. In that kindness, somebody can spot you. Usually, you don't know when somebody is watching. So don't be kind only when you see the boy is driving a fine car and he's single, or you check his hand, there's no ring. No. Be kind to everybody. Let it be part of your life. Develop it as a character. Number two, look good. Look good. These are things that you need to develop as part of your character. Be kind. Number two, look good. The Bible said men look on the outside. Praise God. He said, men, do what? Look on the outside. Always look good. You know that those days when you said, man, I just dress anyhow today, Jerry. Nobody go see me. You know, that's the day you meet all the important people in your life. Then the day you say, today, I'll go bath up. You don't meet anybody. Does it happen to you? So the secret is that look good every time. It don't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be overly made up. Let me explain to you. Men don't know the difference between Peruvian or Brazilian. You don't have to waste all that money. In fact, most of those things, it is women oppressing women. Though those Brazilian, it has nothing to do with us. Because as far as I'm concerned, I don't know the difference between Brazilian or Peruvian or Moroccan. I don't know the difference. Do you understand? All this heavyweight shoe you are wearing, it doesn't impress man. We don't know the difference. All men will have black shoes. That's all we have. So we do all those things. So you don't have to be expensive. But look clean, look good. Light makeup. When you are overly made up, it makes you look desperate. It makes you look needy. Light. Let your hair be right. It mustn't be the expensive weave on. We don't know the difference. The 5K hair and the 50K hair, we don't know the difference. So it's not for us you are buying it. It's for yourself. Then the third one, please be smart. Be intelligent. Your intelligence will keep a man's attention on you for a long time. Praise God. There are so many other things, but I have to close now. Then we'll take a few questions. Let me also say this as I begin to close. Whatever you do, please don't pressure a man to marry you. Don't pressure a man to marry you. There's nothing God cannot do. Let your focus be on God. Don't pressure a man and tell him, come and see my parents. Or when I if he's interested, let him say so. If he's not interested, don't tie your life to him. Don't allow the man speak in parables. Don't let him say, you are the kind of girl I would like to spend the rest of my life with. In the world of men, that is not a commitment. In the world of men, I'm just telling you that you are the kind. I didn't say you are the one. So clarify issues. Don't assume. Praise God. Have you been blessed at all?
We know you've been blessed by this message. For more informational counseling, please call us on 01-8181-782, 080-2835-6363, or email us at davidschristiancenter1@yahoo.com, or visit our website at www.davidschristianchurch.org. God bless you.